AccuWeather forecast, decreasing clouds, high around 57 lakeside, low 60s further inland. Coming up at 6:30 tonight at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall, it's a zoning public hearing on the conditional use permit request by Evergreen Academy. They want to build a single-site private school on the south side of Chicory Road. That proposed school would encompass about 40,000 square feet, plus there'd be parking, playgrounds, and sports fields, a project to be done in three phases. The Mount Pleasant Plan Commission has that item on its agenda tomorrow afternoon. A wooded area west of Caledonia's Eastside Community Center, meanwhile, being packaged up in a proposed sale of that building on Douglas Avenue. This is the new Village Center gets closer to completion by Crawford Park. However, the board heard from two citizens last night who urged them to reconsider this combination. Donna Lessenjack noting it's a designated park. It has signage. It has trails.
I would really like there to be, in the minutes, some notice that you have considered this, that you've discussed it, and that this property be considered separately from that park. There should be an ordinance in Caledonia that protects parkland.
Administrator Tom Christensen recently given the okay by the Public Works Committee to consider offers on the community center property and the almost 4-acre woodland park behind it. Last night's public comment portion of the Racine Unified School Board meeting got dominated by speakers asking for quiet, specifically quiet time in school classrooms, running about 15 minutes to begin the day, 15 minutes at the end. A proven experiment in urban schools across the country, according to one speaker. 32-year teacher Connie Molbeck, now teaching Peace Learning Circles, said quiet time fits right in, starting with mindful breathing for both students and teachers.
A lot of teachers use it before testing, and when I was looking at your results, if kids are anxious or if their heads are spinning on what's going on after school or at home or whatever, they're not going to do as well. But if they can clear their heads and get their heads clear, and then they can focus on what's going on.
Businessman Bill Bueller, he supports quiet time. He learned it firsthand years ago.
It's very effective in building resilience in the nervous system. And we all need that resilience with the stress and workload that we carry, and kids do as well.
The only response to the quiet time request, Superintendent Lolly Haas stating, I'll make sure someone on Dr. Galyon's team follows up to get more information. This Saturday, the Kenosha County Tavern League will be presenting Sheriff David Beth with a $10,000 donation toward the purchase of a new canine. The department, of course, lost one of its canines when Klaus passed away in October. The presentation will take place at the Bella Vita Banquet Hall in New Munster. Union Grove resident Frank Lamping recently selected to the Green Bay Packers Fan Hall of Fame. Now he's been named a Wisconsin Hometown Hero, State Assembly's highest citizen recognition. He'll receive it Tuesday, March the 7th, at the beginning of the next state floor session of the Assembly. Oh, and if southeast Wisconsin should get a major snowstorm in the coming weeks, you can blame Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett. He lifted the winter parking restrictions on his city yesterday, more than a week ahead of schedule. And don't forget, it's primary election day. The polls are open till 8 o'clock. Decisions you make today will affect how the ballot looks in April. The seniors group Adventures in Lifelong Learning hosted Racine Police Chief Art Howell and two of his deputy chiefs in the UW Parkside Student Center Cinema. They discussed things like community policing in the neighborhoods and the schools, scams, and continued reduction on crime figures. Chief Howell noting one effort they hope to announce soon will involve the use of Regency Mall as a safe zone, and when it comes to Craigslist and transactions.
If you and I are communicating over Craigslist and I've got a nice iPad that I want to sell you, but you don't know if I'm real or not, it'd be great if we could just meet at the mall as opposed to behind some back alley somewhere where I might rob you. And so that's something that is to be announced.
Meanwhile, the internet, both a help and a hindrance to law enforcement, according to the chief. He said the public needs to remember the pitfalls of providing too much information.
It's one thing to extract information from the internet. Something completely different to provide information, right? So you have to make sure whenever you're doing anything where you're giving information that you're really careful and you're making sure that that it's a secure site. Now, and even sometimes when it's secure, it's still a problem.
Chief Howell telling the almost 75 attendees, you got 200 police officers, but it's taken all 78,000 city of Racine residents for the latest crime stats to be at a 52-year low. The intersection of 4 Mile and Nicholson Roads in the village of Caledonia have seen quite a number of accidents there. The village board last night approving a resolution to acquire and install solar-powered stop signs. Trustee Dave Pratt is the county's highways and park superintendent. He noted the installation of these signs is because of their traffic data. and that is likely going to be needed for other such requests.
Once they go up in Caledonia, we're going to be getting a lot of other calls from other residents that feel that they need those stop signs. So it's important that you have criteria that warrants you putting them there, because just because they're going here doesn't mean that they should go another place.
The cost, $4,500 for three signs. One has to be held in reserve, and there's a five-year replacement life on the batteries. Allentown, Pennsylvania, city a little bit bigger than Racine, near two big cities, history of manufacturing, a downtown where businesses left back in the 60s and 70s. They built a downtown arena, which has spurred massive change. At the Racine Common Council Committee of the Whole meeting, consultant Jeff Friedman said that Allentown developed their publicly funded arena, a little bit bigger than the one proposed here in Racine, and other development then quickly followed. He said that the arena has had a lot of spin-off effects.
In a downtown environment, an arena and an entertainment facility like this can have greater spin-off effects. Again, much like the site that's under consideration here in Racine, you park in one place, you walk and get dinner, you walk to the arena for the event, maybe you grab a drink on the way home. If that occurs in a remote part of town, on the far edge of town, out by the freeway, you're likely not going to get those kind of secondary benefits that the study for the Racine Arena projects, and they're getting them and they're experiencing them in Allentown.
That project, he said, also affecting areas outside the downtown.
They're seeing more investment in the walk-up housing here that needed to be reinvested in, that people were reluctant to do so when the trajectory was flat or downward at best. Small shops and restaurants are opening even in the neighborhoods, and so it's having radiating benefits into the broader community.
Friedman adding that Allentown hoping to continue that momentum created by the arena toward development of their riverfront, another parallel, he said, to Racine. Process of deciding whether it's even feasible for Racine to build a downtown event center should start to move quickly, with a decision to be made soon on the hiring of an owner's representative. The Common Council meeting in Committee of the Whole last night, hearing from Amy Conley, the city's development director, on what's happened with the project so far, some of the potential private partners initially becoming noncommittal, then questions getting raised about the site. Finally, it was determined it should become a city project. One of the consultants, Steve Friedman, told the alderman that a number of studies have already been done that sets the groundwork for what's going to come next. He noted financial plans, they have to be analyzed.
And we've reviewed the work that the city did to look at the financing sources, the capacity of those sources. And so on a preliminary basis, it looks like there is a capacity to support an arena that would come in this $40 to $50 million range.
He says because it's such a complicated project, the city needs a representative to analyze the site, come up with a preliminary design, determine how much the project might cost, again, if it is even feasible.
And their jobs include to help select and supervise the planning team, the design team, the architecture team, the structural engineers, the civil engineers, all of the different professionals who in this case have to be working on a very tight site, relatively tight site, define the program in detail, lay it out, fit it on the site, make it be done in a way that's efficient to operate, and so on.
Another Committee of the Whole meeting scheduled for next Monday night to review the recommendations on owner representatives. Racine Redevelopment Authority on March the 6th will decide whether to hire a candidate. The Common Council to vote the following night on funding for the first phase of the project, right now listed in the neighborhood of $500,000 to $600,000. Primary election day all across Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee counties, and the state, of course, just one statewide race on the ballot to set the stage for April, that regarding the Department of Public Instruction and the superintendent. Kenosha County, no individual primaries. Racine County, there's the 15th Aldermanic District race, as well as the Waterford Graded School District Board primary. And two referendum questions in Racine County, one in the Waterford Union High School District, the other in the Dover School District No. 1. Polls close at 8 o'clock tonight. At WRJN News is our Twitter page for those eventual decisions later on. He owns some bars in the city of Racine, recently took over a facility in Franksville, and now Joey Legath is being thanked by the Caledonia Village Board for his $500 donation to help deal with the remaining vandalism done to the bathroom and the pavilion facilities at Caledonia Mount Pleasant Memorial Park.
Mike Adelaine volunteered to clean that up. He's still working on it. There's still some efforts at removal. If the final effort at removal doesn't work, he's going to be painting that with the materials donated by Sherwin-Williams. There were some signboards that he didn't have any control over. Scott Morton had previously donated $500. We learned today that Joey Legath from Joey's West is going to donate an additional $500 towards the replacement of those boards.
That's Administrator Tom Christensen saying the two monetary donations, much appreciated, and in his words, we're very close now to having all the costs covered out there. The Pleasant Prairie Village Board authorizes staff to file a request with the Public Service Commission on American Transmission Company's plans to create new power transmission lines from Wisconsin into Illinois, lines that could have a negative impact, the village says, on both private and public lands within the village. ATC's preferred route is 1.2 miles long. It proceeds south between Pleasant Prairie's new residential recycling center and privately owned property that a news release indicates has entertained some development interests. The village is asking ATC to go with a secondary route. ATC, according to the village, has not been responsive to that suggestion. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.